Well, good morning. Again. Now, I believe that I'm on today, right? And I checked the batteries today, so we should be good. Hallelujah. Our scripture reading this morning comes from Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 26. And this is week three of our series within a series, Essentials for a Healthy Community of Faith, within our series on Moses going through Exodus. And as a reminder, after this Sunday, we're going to be taking a break from our Exodus series. Next Sunday will be a special Sunday recognizing our confirmation students. And then the Sunday following that is the beginning of Advent. And so we will enter into our Advent and Christmas series, and then we will pick back up in Exodus in the new year. So Exodus chapter 18, beginning in verse 13. The next day Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I'll give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd be meeting us here in this moment. We know that you're already here. We pray that you would help us to recognize your presence, that we would be able to learn from what you have to teach us this morning, and more so that we would be able to walk out and live it. We pray these things in the Son's holy name. Amen. Well, we have been in our study of Moses and the Israelites coming out of Egypt for some time now. If you remember, we have seen Moses called in the wilderness, that God called Moses to lead his people out of the slavery in Egypt, and through God's working and power, Moses has done that. Moses has led the people out as God has sent sign after sign and wonder after wonder, plague after plague. And God has rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. And we now find them as they wander in the wilderness, this place of promise and provision where they are experiencing God's protection, where God is preparing them for what's to come next. That the Israelites wander in the wilderness as God prepares them as a nation to enter into the promised land. And that we have been using this wilderness experience really to relate to kind of this wilderness experience that we are in right now, where it seems like we are kind of wandering almost in the midst of a pandemic, not knowing exactly which direction that we are going, but with faith knowing that God will lead us onward to a promised land. That as God prepares us in so many different ways, in so many different wildernesses through our lives, that on the other side of that is His promise. And so we have the Israelite people in the wilderness beginning to function as a nation. And Moses is their leader. And remember that really this is a nation. This is a large group of people. We saw the numbers were 600,000 men plus women and children. And so estimates have that at 1.5 to 2.5 million people. It's a significant sized group of people. And Moses is really serving as leader in all capacities over these people. He was like the police, the law, the counselor, the department of motor vehicles, the judge, the theologian, and the pastor, all in one. And his father-in-law, who we saw last week had come out to meet with him, received the gospel, the good news from Moses, and put his faith now in Yahweh, says to Moses, well, let me give you some advice. And he tells him that he was doing too much, that he should share the ministry, that he should appoint others to help him out. He says, what you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. So this morning, our sermon is going to look a little bit different maybe than it normally would. You're going to learn a little bit more about what it looks like to be an evangelical Presbyterian church, which we are, and kind of our leadership structure, and really how it grows out of this passage and others like it. But Jethro was essentially saying to Moses that you are the shepherd of this nation, that you are leading them, protecting them, guiding them, providing for them, doing everything that they need, and that's hard work. And for a flock this large, you cannot do it on your own. Shepherding is hard work. Moses, was dealing with millions of people, hearing really the complaints, the arguments, the concerns of well over a million people. That's a lot. It's a lot for one person to handle. And really, most churches are set up in such a way that pastors do not do the work alone. So if we apply this into our context, shepherding can be a lot of work. Responding to the needs of the flock is a lot. I saw this, there's those memes where it's what people think I do, what my mom thinks I do, what I actually do. And the ones about pastors are kind of funny because most people have this perception that we only work on Wednesdays and Sundays, or maybe only Sundays. And so people often ask, well, what do you do the rest of the week? And, sleep. No, but there's a lot that goes into shepherding, and that's why within our church context, and really most churches, there is some structure of a division or shared ministry. So Jethro's solution was to share the work. He says, listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to them. Teach them His decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. but select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. Notice, first of all, that Jethro never tells Moses to stop doing what he's doing. That Moses is to carry on. That Moses was a mediator. That he was to take the people to prayer and then to return God's word back to the people. That he was to care for the flock. And Jethro never tells him to stop doing those things. He's, in fact, to continue doing them, but to share that load. That he was to select capable leaders. And listen to the qualifications. That they were to be able or capable of doing the work. That they were to be God-fearing. Or to realize that serving God is serious business, regardless of how big or small the task might be. That they were to be trustworthy. In other words, these were people that you could count on, that you didn't need to question their motives. That they were to be impartial and honest, to hate bribes. Really, in total, capable individuals who were full of integrity and a desire to serve the Lord. And then that Moses would become kind of the court of last resort, or maybe our supreme court. In Acts chapter 6, we see a similar story take place in a New Testament context among the disciples. In Acts chapter 6, 1 through 7, it says this: "In those days, when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, 'It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them, and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word.' This proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith." And so we have this Old Testament and New Testament an example of what it looks like for healthy communities of faith to share in ministry. That it's not meant to be a one-person job. And the titles for these people who share ministry vary. Within our context, we would call them elders. In other contexts, there's other churches have different names for them: judges, disciples, brothers, all different kinds of things. But we see that really there's this model for sharing ministry so that not only the minister, but the flock benefits and grows and remains healthy. So within this church, we have elders as a plurality or as more than one leader. I am what's considered a teaching elder, and then we have ruling elders. We currently have 6 seated ruling elders. A seated ruling elder is simply a elder that is currently serving the church. But once you become an elder in the Presbyterian church, you're an elder for your whole life. Well, under normal circumstances. There are, if you were to somehow, go off the rails, then you could be removed from eldership. But but really, within our church, we view elders as being a Scripture-ordained position. According to Scripture, those who bear the office in the church should exhibit certain characteristics of life. This includes being above reproach, sound in the faith, wise in the things of God, and discreet in all things. Person who fill this office should also exhibit a lifestyle that is example to all, both in and outside the church. That comes from our book of government, that there are multiple pages in our book of government talking about what it looks like to be an elder in our church. And really, that is a significant amount of words put into something in a book that oftentimes maybe only uses a page to talk about certain things. And so this is something that we value highly. It continues and it says this about the duties and responsibilities of our elders. Ruling elders should study and learn the word. They should have become equipped to teach the word, lead worship and prayer, and may be invited or commissioned to supply the ministry of the word where none is available. That they should be able to do those things. Maybe not do them well, or maybe think that they are, but they are, if the situation arises, if there was a Sunday where I were to suddenly become ill or something like that, it would become one of our elders' responsibility then to teach. That doesn't happen very often, and I think most of our elders are thankful of that. But what it's getting at here is if they were placed in that position, would they know the Word of God well enough that they could share it with other people? And I could say with confidence that our elders do that, that they know the Word of God. Ruling elders as under-shepherds should visit the sick, the bereaved, the lonely, the aged, the shut-in, and all those who have a pastoral need. In cases where there is a special need, the ruling elder shall be careful to inform the pastor. And this is something that we do. We work as a plurality to care for the needs of our congregation. And in a COVID world, this has become interesting. More so than ever, I have needed help. I am not necessarily a huge fan of using the phone, whether it's text messaging or calling people, or I do it because I think it's a fantastic tool, but it is a way for our elders to share in this job with me. Ruling elders have a special responsibility to see the development of the children of the congregation, to inquire after inactive members and encourage new members in spiritual development, and to otherwise show care for those whom they serve. They're supposed to love kids, check in on people in our church, and maybe find out what's going on in their lives. Ruling elders should be attentive to themselves and church members, guarding against dangers to the faith and to dangers to the moral life of believers. They are also responsible to warn, admonish, and reclaim those who stray. A lot of the things that our elders do happens behind the scenes in order to protect against dangers. So our elders think of things like having background checks and running background checks on those who are working with our children as a way to guard and protect our flock. We meet regularly to develop policies of safety, to talk about what it looks like to lead our congregation forward. You'll notice nowhere in there does it say that they have to do those things perfectly, because none of us are perfect, right? But that they are to set an example. And so we have elders in our church, but then we have all kinds of other people who are serving in leadership positions. We have worship leaders leading a part of worship that I absolutely cannot. I am not musically talented at all. And so that is another way where ministry is shared in our church. We have trustees who lead and work behind the scenes in our church, making sure that our church building is safe and comfortable and attractive. We have our children's ministry and Sunday school leaders. All kinds of leaders, all kinds of volunteer leaders, administrative leaders. People who send out communication, people who are handling our finance. Leadership within the church. And so many of you have probably been part of churches where they don't have elders. That does not mean that they don't have a plurality of leadership within their church. They have just titled it differently. Healthy churches share the ministry. There's more than one person doing the tasks. Jethro says the result of this will be, he says, if you do this and God so commands, you'll be able to stand the strain and all these people will go home satisfied. That by following this method of shared ministry, it leads to a healthy community of faith. The result is that God directs those communities of faith, that they will be able to endure, and that the people will go in peace. It's the best for everyone. So two main principles that I hope that you're hearing this morning. The first one is a healthy community practice shared ministry by having a plurality of qualified leaders who care for the flock. A plurality of leaders. They oversee the ministry of the church. They equip God's people to do the work of ministry, and they serve as under-shepherds underneath the shepherd, God, to equip God's people to do ministry together. And the second thing that I really want you to hear is this, that we are a type of church where we believe in every member ministry. That we have a pastor, that we have elders and other leaders in the church, but really in order to have a healthy church, all of us need to share in the work of the church. That it cannot simply be limited to a few. That all of us, in some way or another, are appointed to leadership in our lives following Christ. Maybe that's leading your family. Maybe that's being a leader at work. Maybe it's simply demonstrating faith as you move about in the community. But every Christian has a part to play in the body of Christ. You can pray for people. You can care for people. You can teach other people. You can use your spiritual gifts to bless the community. Galatians 6:2 says we should do this in the spirit of carrying one another's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. We are living in a season where more so maybe than ever, we need to be in every member ministry. And when I use that word member, I'm not saying that you actually have to be a member of this church. What I'm referring to is that if you are a part of this church, if you're saying this is the church where you regularly worship and attend, then we are encouraging you to share in the ministry of this church. That you are encouraged to share the gospel message with everyone. That it is good news, that there are ways that you can be moving and working, that you can be reaching out into our specific community and really the community as large. There are so many people right now who are hurting. There are so many people in our congregation who need brothers and sisters to come and stand alongside of them. So many people who would love it if you called them and simply said, hey, how are you doing this week? And it's really easy to pick up the phone. If I can do it, all of us can do it. That we need to be sharing the weight right now. You know, I keep on hearing on the radio right now how people more so than ever are looking forward to Christmas because of the joy that comes with Christmas. And so even people who are strict Christmas tree after Thanksgiving type of people are going ahead and moving towards Christmas because they just need some sense of hope in their life, some type of joy, some type of peace. You can be that. You can be that for somebody. Just simply letting somebody know that you've thought of them, that you care about them. You don't have to be good at it. It doesn't have to be thought out. You can just simply pick up the phone and say, "Hey, I was thinking about you. I don't necessarily have anything to say, but I wanted you to know that I was thinking about you. How can I be praying for you?" It can be a 30-second phone call, and you can be the joy in somebody's life. So in this story today, we see Jethro give Moses advice. That Moses listens. He demonstrated humility. He received counsel. And that is a community of faith, that if we desire to be healthy, we need to share in ministry. It's not a one-person job. It's an every-member ministry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the way that you're moving and working in our church. I thank you for the so many who are already doing this in our church. I thank you, Heavenly Father, that we don't have to do this alone. That we have you as our great shepherd leading us forward. And that we serve alongside of our brothers and sisters in Christ, sharing the load, empowered by you. We pray that you continue to give us strength, continue to give us motivation, continue to pour out your mercy and love upon us. And we pray these things in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.